Welcome to the Manat Digital Podcast. I'm Ned Sherman, Counsel and Director at Manat Digital, the strategy consulting arm of Manat Phelps & Phillips. Each month, we will offer conversations with the best minds in emerging technology and media, including company leaders, innovators, and investors. At Manat, we base our work on smart insights and deep relationships, and are excited to share our collective thoughts with you. We are excited to have Adrian Sexton as our guest today. Adrian is CEO of Titan Platform, a global smart content and device company with headquarters in the US, South Korea, China, and Singapore. Titan's AI-focused product line includes Titan Play, a transactional encrypted content platform, Titan Core, an all-in-one smart home and entertainment hub that manages IoT devices, and Titan Out of Home, content-to-commerce digital signage. Sexton is a veteran of the LA media scene, has headed digital business and creative at three media companies, Endemol Shine Group, Lionsgate Entertainment, and Participant Media, as well as founding two media strategy agencies, Tag Strategic and New Medici. In today's podcast, we're going to talk to Adrian about the exciting and evolving world of smart entertainment and the Internet of Things. Adrian, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Ned. It's always fun to catch up and try to talk about some big things for an even bigger audience.
Well, great to have you here. To kick things off, tell us a little bit about your background and what brought you to Titan.
You know, it's funny how life works, and I would have never guessed I'd be working with a Korean innovation and R&D group in a beautiful office in Silicon Beach, with offices in China and Singapore and Japan to follow. But I think it came about because I've really had this strong hybrid background in media and technology. I've always enjoyed the vectors of thinking around tech, that it's always been very open and seeing where things go. Media has always been very near and dear to my heart. I think I have a very narrative content savviness. But I saw how technology could move that needle. And with some decay in traditional entertainment, some decay in, you know, cord cutting and other areas as well, has really promoted a openness of how can we best get consumers, get audiences to consume content, transact with content, and to embellish and interact with content. And I think what Titan is doing is very impressive here. They came at me after looking at my background at a big MCN player with Endemol Shine, with Participant Media building a social action network called Take Part, which is a sort of a social good interactive piece. And then with Lionsgate and a number of other studios I've worked with or consulted over the years, and said, this guy gets media. We need someone who can move fast, who has deep relationships, but someone who also can take a business, because I've worked at many startups too, and really find a way to market develop these new products we're going to talk about shortly.
Terrific. That's a great segue into my first kind of question about Internet of Things. You know, there are a lot of smart home technologies today, Nest, Ring, Sonos, Echo, Home. It seems like the consumer appetite for establishing a smart home is really, really growing. What is the smart home today, and what is the opportunity for the future?
Well, I think the smart home today is very confusing for every consumer, and I think even for a lot of retailers. I don't want to name too many names because I'm a fan of a lot of these retailers, but I think they're looking at the biggest e-commerce player out there. Again, take a hint. And they're seeing a lot of competition in the marketplace for people who buy. I mean, who doesn't get a UPS box delivered to their doorstep at least twice a week and enjoy some original programming across their set-top devices currently? But I think the retailers, again, people are really more and more saying, I need to modernize what I do. The last big modern thing I bought was likely a smartphone, a new iPhone, a Samsung, whatever. or a 4K smart TV. Those are the two main things. We still have our Apple TV, Rokus, Chromecast, Amazon Fire Sticks. There's some names I'll give you. But largely, when you start to think about what you want to do, it's word of mouth from a relative, a good friend. It's something on sale at a big box retailer that you're like, oh, I know someone who has this. I think it's clever. It's a door ring. What do you want to call it? Let's just call this one out, ring.com, which I picked up at Costco as my first smart home or IoT purchase. My wife is like, a $200 doorbell. That's crazy. But she loves it because those UPS boxes, FedEx boxes, neighbors, kids, whatever it is, it's easy when you're remote to sort of have a quick conversation with video. It's ingenious. And so I think there's really a marketplace now where you have your one starter device, you have your Nest, you have your Ring, I'm naming the IoT, you have your August Lock, all these guys. And you're like, okay, what do I do next? What's my next, you know, movement on the board? Is it a security cam? Is it blinds that close automatically? I mean, there's so many different devices. And yet when you go into retail or even e-commerce, you have no idea. You might have an Alexa Echo. You might have a Google Home. You might be hoping for the HomePod from Apple, all these things, but nothing really connects the dots. And so Titan Core, as it says in its name, is that unifier. It takes all these interdenominational different new home finishings, let's call it, or smart finishings, and puts them under a central command or a central mind or brain. And I think what we're really hearing from retailers are that, just like the remote control, nobody knows how to program a VHS back in the day, to who knows how to control the remote, or which remote is the core remote that's actually going to turn on the box or the TV or whatever device you're literally at play with, is right now when you think of smart home or IoT, someone's going to have all those apps on their phone. If the head of household, whether it be, you know, the dad, the mom, the boyfriend, girlfriend, whomever it is, they really don't. And that person walks out of the room, you can't turn the lights off anymore. You can't really adjust anything unless you go manually, and that's beside the point. So I think our major goal in this marketplace is to educate and to create a core value prop for all of these companies and the consumers who are starting to edge into them and the retailers who don't know how to sell them. I mean, how many times you've been back to the, let's call it the electronics section, if that even makes sense anymore, of a big box retailer. And you're like, okay, I'll buy one thing, but there's no connection between anything else. There's no bundling, there's no packaging, except when they offer some cloud service on top of the Ring doorbell, which is very hard to activate, in my opinion. So I'd rather have something that gives me the sort of the cheat sheet or the map to the discovery of these new devices. Because, again, we're going to start to modernize our homes. We're doing it already with our cars and our electricity consumption, especially in California. How do we have a better way to monitor and activate that?
And UTitan really is positioning to be that unifier. And part of the equation, from my understanding, is the content as well. You're a content guy by background, and have worked with some of the biggest entertainment and media companies in the world. What is the importance of content in the IoT ecosystem?
Well, there's two parts. Again, I'm a hybrid of media and tech, and I think that Titan, again, I think they recruited well and accidentally well on some level. I accidentally, but with the right sort of outlook, accepted accordingly this new role in the U.S. But I think there is a real neat symbiotic connection between smart entertainment, I'll define that, and smart home control, or unification, let's call it. And the two parts, it's the chocolate and peanut butter. The smart entertainment to me is right now, and I'm going to give you my own life problems and solutions, because that's how I would steer any product forward or any consumer market behavior, is right now I've had Rokus, Amazon Fires, I've never had a Chromecast, and I've tried it in the office and it just doesn't work for me. It's super cheap and you kind of get what you pay for, in my opinion, because it doesn't offer me any real deep functionality. So what my kids like and what I like for user interface is Apple TV, the new generation one with the cool remote with the trackpad and all that. It allows me to adjust my volume, which we also have with Titan products. But it's a very simple box where I can do my iTunes, I have my apps, I can do my AirPlay to put stuff up on the screen, which I do 0.002% at home and 0.1% at the office, let's call it. So it has a lot of interesting bells and whistles, but it's a very closed network. And yet it's the only thing that right now I can buy that makes sense. And it was $150. So not cheap, but good interface, and it's Apple, so I trust it. The real sort of edge here on your content question is when I turn on that device or I turn on or I open the Netflix app on any device or any Hulu, Vudu, all these four-letter companies outside of Netflix, I really walk into an environment where I've got a huge video wall of tiles of movie posters or box art, they call it. And I'm sort of going in and wandering around. Just like I said before with smart homes, there's no map. It shows me what I watched or what I'm continuing to watch. It shows kind of whimsical little avatars for my profiles, user profiles for myself and my family. The kids enjoy their little kid area, but they can go watch an R-rated, racially violent scene, movie with nudity and graphic, whatever, violence in it, without, you know, with very little parent control, so it's not great for safety, in my opinion. But then they get that point of saying, okay, go in, I got a video wall with like 50 titles or 100 titles, there's no program guide, there's no TV guide anymore, good and bad on that. And I'm not driven every night, let's call it, if I watch TV every night, to sort of go through that sort of passage of what's to watch. There's 5,000 channels and nothing's on, you know. And even with the cable, I've had cable on and off with the Verizons and Comcast and DirecTVs. And it's still, you're just kind of aimlessly plodding through and you're giving yourself carpal tunnel on your thumb just to get through the 1,000 or plus channels you have. And all the different language channels you don't know how to delete or mute or whatever. So it hasn't improved. I mean, it literally hasn't improved. Yet there's still a huge flow of content coming through from Seven Studios and TV and Independence and all this stuff. So Titan has a very big approach here. They want to go multimedia. So it's movies, TV, music, animation, webtoons, VR content, karaoke content. I mean, it really is the kitchen sink. But more importantly, and this goes to my tech background, let's say, as opposed to the media background, it's the overlay of artificial intelligence that will take those 50 to 100 titles you see on any homepage of any major video on demand service. And instead of keeping that constant and sort of dulling your senses every time you have to go pixeline to watch, it's more valued on what is really being watched. So the tiles, and what we'll see going forward, the tiles will start to fall down, fade away, almost like a shooting gallery, and you'll start to see what you're really keyed into. And they'll be very smart preferencing to you or your family members so that what you're watching may commingle with your partner, or you may be very differently suited, and when she or he turns on the TV, it comes with a very different sort of programming grid. So that's the play. We're going to aggregate and license a lot of our content. We're going to go after the new digital creators that I think are looking for more transactional value than they might find elsewhere. And then I think the second part of it is, again, back to that tech overlay. I want to unify entertainment, but I also want to unify devices. So that's why we call ourselves a smart content and device company. Trying to keep it simple but unique enough that people will say, okay, I want a better content experience. And as I start to tread down this path of adding smart devices around my house, it's great to have the phone, and the phone is our remote for our stuff as well as a small, you know, internal remote. But it really is that point of saying, how do we guide that and educate that new audience?
I want to come back to the discussion on artificial intelligence or AI, because I think there's a lot to discuss there. But something you know that struck me about Titan is Titan's a global company, and you know how does that shape kind of your vantage point or the way you look at rolling out products, and perhaps even give you an advantage in looking at the commercial side of your business.
You know, it's an interesting thing. We just did a big announcement last week with China Unicom, which is the third biggest telecom. They raised $14.7 billion 2 days before we put that release out. So it was very good timing, and they had a very it's over 20, so I can't name them all, but they had, you know, Alibaba, Tencent, I think Baidu. They had just like every major Asian player that is very deep on e-commerce, obviously, and gaming and messaging apps and all that kind of good stuff. But it really is interesting to do a deal with a company of this stature and size in Asia, because as you look at it, many U.S. companies from a Netflix, YouTube, Facebook, they have found it very hard to penetrate China, but because I think of our Asian background in Korea, because we've won a number of competitions that put us into this space with China Unicom, it really now gives a vast arena for content. So the Seven Studios, when we met with their representatives, their aggregators, let's say, they were like, oh, you're going to be this far into China? Oh, they will want to be there because we only have a few deals coming because it's so difficult, given the different protocols and the different governments, et cetera. So it's very interesting on that level for us. Secondarily, I think having Singapore, which is a very app or platform-based side, is important. We hired someone who, when I looked and met this person in Korea at a Titan Olympiad, we had a sort of internal games retreat, where I performed quite well for the U.S., just so it said, is that I met this guy, Brian Bae, B-A-E, who's our CEO of Singapore for Titan, and the guy has an outstanding background. He ran managing director at Kakao, which is the biggest messaging service out there, and they also have a huge imprint on merchandising for their IP and their franchise. It's called Of Characters. It's kind of like their Disney version. But these stores are three stories packed to the gill with people. Everyone's taking photos of everything. It's Instagram nation here. And if I were to go into a Disney store, just to give a sort of brand comparison, in Sherman Oaks, and I were to go into a Kakao store in Seoul, Korea, the Kakao store would be doing, you know, 10x the amount of traffic. So it's really impressive. And then he also was at Facebook doing mobile partnerships for the Asia Pacific area, and then also at Opera Systems, Opera Software, that is, working there on platforms. So we bring a lot of unique disciplines to this. Korea is our parent company. It's 120 R&D people, another roughly 70, 80 people doing marketing and IT-based things. They're sourcing their content. They're going after the multi-channel networks of Asia, which is a hotter area over there currently than it has been over here. And then, obviously, U.S. sales, content, and marketing is our biggest push. And we've got a great showroom/workspace right on the promenade in Santa Monica. So it's a nice blend of tech, platform, enormous reach in China with big telecom partners. We're going to have some big telecoms in the U.S. and other territories to follow. But it really is a nice kind of mix of groups, and it's pretty impressive. They've done this on a relatively small amount of private capital to date.
I want to take a step back to and look at ask a question from really kind of a societal perspective. There's a lot of discussion in the media about artificial intelligence, machine learning, and questioning whether it's a threat to jobs or an opportunity. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, personally, I think we need to get better infrastructure and education around the new roles. Who would have imagined that a new on-demand taxi service or logistics company, as they call themselves, Uber, or a on-demand private room service like Airbnb, both have outstanding applications and usages through the roof, and they're multi-billion, some of the highest private companies, and definitely Uber is, and I think in the top five is Airbnb as well. So really outstanding companies with incredible teams and branding. And you definitely know, it's like you all know someone in your family who had X job or whatever. We all probably now know someone in our family who does Uber or has rented out their house or apartment on Airbnb. It's just the new gig economy. It's changing everything. And a lot of that is overlaid. I mean, you see it with Uber doing trucks and trucking, you know, Ubers that have AI from Carnegie Mellon University Tech. It's all moving in a direction. And I'm not saying it's Elon Musk, AI destroys us all, Skynet, that kind of stuff, Terminator stuff. Hopefully when I'm already passed and my kids are gone, you know, whatever. So, but the Matrix, you know, take the blue pill or the red pill. But I think there's a level of education that I don't see happening outside of in Silicon Valley and Silicon Beach, let's say, maybe New York a little bit, maybe in France. I've heard there's some really big, you know, innovation going on there with the new government. I see it severely lacking in the U.S. outside of private or public companies doing it on their own. So I think it needs to happen. And it's not re-education because you're not going to have a trucking job or a retail or a fast food restaurant job or finance or even law for that matter. It's that people just need to get smarter. And I don't think we're going to educate them on this. We're more about the sort of consumer and education of around entertainment and stuff like that. But I do think there's a level where you're going to start to see more AI and actually more robotics come into play to support a lot of the roles that we may have taken for granted or just don't need so much anymore. And it's always hard for someone to say, hey, I thought I would have a job for 20 years, but outside of Ned and my own 20-year, you know, life path so far, we've had a bunch of jobs. And I don't think we've been in anything 20 years for one boss, let's call it. So I think there has to be more aggregation or curation of what you really do in your world. Trust me, I have 19 side projects on top of what I do at Titan, and they all kind of educate themselves between each other. But I think that there's a strong, you know, driver in the marketplace to bring AI onto more and more. And it's in medical, it's in big tech, obviously, it's in auto, the car, vehicle market, clearly as well. And I think it has to come to entertainment. And I think entertainment kind of likes it, but kind of doesn't. Because you look at the green light committees. I did an AI talk that's somewhere online, but I literally said the green light committees, it's all politicking and running some numbers and comps and kind of trying to just use your gut as best you can. I definitely leave with my instinct or gut as much as I can, but it's refreshed by data. I think, though, that I can only scale my judgment or my management so much. But if I am in my home watching content, I don't want to be told must-see TV is Thursday and I need the box to watch this NBA game or whatever it is. We're seeing it with Disney and ESPN, Video On Demand, etc., that there's really a drive to give the user more control to open these boxes. And I think Titan, it's a big name. It sounds like a big monolithic company that's big brother-like on some level. But I think it's just the strength of making the users the titans of their choice, of their content, of their homes, of their smart devices, etc. And I think that the AI is a slow-rolling education. I mean, the people who you'd say, again, not to pick on other parts of America, but you pick the South or you pick Middle America and you say, you know, how much do you use X app or your smartphone? and they use it like crazy. It's our main device of usage. Yet we want to do more with that. We want to have better entertainment experiences, better shopping, e-commerce experiences, obviously moving much more towards e-commerce. So I think we need to understand AI. I think the fast food, just to jump into a category that we're looking at for some of our products, but you're going to walk into a fast food store and it's going to be kiosk. It already is in some cases. And they're going to do all the upsells and not feel guilty about saying you can get that larger fries for an extra 50 cents or a dollar. And you're going to walk out or you're going to pre-order and just pick it up like you do at REIs or Walmarts or whatever these days and get that drop shipping that we're so accustomed to now. And you're really going to say, you know what, that was a really good experience. And I think, I hope, ideally, that America and other countries will say, you know what, we're putting the jobs that no one really enjoyed. In fact, another quick anecdote, I tell my staff as they perform well, I say, you know what, tell me what you really love doing, what you do great, that you just want to continue to do great, and what you don't like doing anymore. Because I want to push that stuff you don't like doing over to an outsourcer, to AI, like an AI assistant, which I've used over the years for my email, and it works great to schedule stuff and not have to go back and forth personally on so many things. And most people read that AI assistant as a human, even though it's not, just a very quick human, maybe too quick sometimes in responses. But so I think there's just a lot of opportunity ahead, but the construct or the framing I really like to see is around entertainment.
We talked a little earlier about robotics, and I'm fascinated by it. My son, who's 12 years old and is in a middle school here, they embrace it in a major way. In fact, it's one of their school sports, and they treat it that way with practices each week, competitions every weekend. Where do you see robotics going, and is there a plan for robotics in the Titan business model?
Well, we've again in our cross border approach with the five territories that we're rapidly into or about to move into, we acquired out of SK Telecom, one of the biggest Korean telecoms, most of their robotics team. And I think that when you put the layers of this out there, and this is all future road mapping.
Sure.
It's not in the next, you know, year and a half. It's beyond, is the idea that if you have all of this data from your personalized smart entertainment, smart home control, and the app, which again works seamlessly around it all, Titan Play, you really get into a space of saying, okay, it has all this information. Could I even have a better experience? And this is premium pricing and all that, but could I have more of a robotic influence on my set-top device, which I think people would, because the set-tops that some of us have in our houses look like they were created in the 70s by, you know, Texas Instruments or something like that. So, you know, the remote is as bulky as an old brick phone in many cases. So I really think you're moving into a space where you're going to say, and this is also as we age, as it affects the elderly, they're going to want more support in certain ways. And this is pretty far out, as you sort of suggested. But that idea that taking all the data and information and then being able to provide more smart home devices that you typically might have reserved for paying a small vendor, or maybe it's connected to, you know, city utilities, but that you now can say, have this handled by some of that. I'm trying not to go too deep in because it's a rabbit's hole. I mean, we're not talking someone that gets you out of bed and dress you or anything like that, but more that idea that it just optimizes your life more and more. So when I drive my Tesla in the morning, I've got a really great music piece with their Slacker radio integration, which no one markets, but you get free, you know, streaming music for life on the Tesla cars, which is a great perk, to all the other things I can relatively check. I can check the web, I guess, while I'm driving. I can pull up the browser and do stuff. I don't do that very often. But there's a lot of multi-functionality. I think that's just more and more what we'll see as we get more into a device-supported information economy.
So we've talked about the global economy. We've talked about the future. I want to take it back to what's happening here in L.A. So I'm sitting here with you in this probably one of the most beautiful offices in Silicon Beach.
Good sublease. Here
in Santa Monica.
Startup sublease.
And you and I have been in the digital media scene here for you know 20 plus years. But and I remember some of those early years when the scene was pretty small. But it seems like digital is really hitting its stride right now in LA, and you can feel the digital economy and the companies and the investors coming in, not just in Silicon Beach, but all over LA. What does this mean for Los Angeles, and how does it perhaps kind of change where we sit on the map for the digital economy?
Well, I don't think it's changed that in most conversations you have in LA, you kind of automatically default to talking about entertainment, even though, as I said, there's some decay in the marketplace. I mean, going to see more than 4 movies a year is a rarity, and you kind of do the cost-benefit analysis of taking, let's say you have a family, to a movie versus just waiting and getting it for 50, owning it relatively on one of our set tops for 15 to 20 bucks or renting for $6. It just kind of takes a lot of the urgency out. And the main thing, having worked at many studios, the main thing of Hollywood is the windowing, the rights, and all that. So I think the hold is still in media in LA. We still own that in a big way. New York owns it, but on a different level, more newsy and fashion and other types of entertainment, let's say. But I think entertainment is still front and center in LA. Silicon Valley has given us a lot of great smarts, but it is incredibly expensive. And retaining staff in the Bay Area, I know, is very difficult because 9 out of 10 of the people you've hired from Facebook or Google or whatever want to start their own startups and don't really want to work for you. So I think retention is a little easier in Silicon Beach, let's call it. And I think that we also, again, pride ourselves on being able to really understand the media business. So you see Apple picking up the 2 former Sony executives, both of which I worked for years ago at Sony, worked with actually, now they're the bosses, but I worked with them back in my Sony television days. And then into the the framing we're seeing from Spotify, Netflix, obviously an early adopter of original series and all that. But I do think it's that tech AI overlay that has been severely missed. And then just repeating a little bit, that navigation between either content, data, services, and then into devices, hardware. So software for us is the big, software will eat the world, as Mark Andreessen said, and it does because it scales pretty infinitely. But I think that there's still a nice mix here. And we've really heard this as strong approval in the marketplace that you have both sides. You have the chocolate and the peanut butter. You have the device hardware and the software content, let's call it. And being able to really propel those forward with this AI ecosystem gives us, I think, a really good measure of value to creating the OS, the operating system of the home. And I think that's where China Unicom and other telecoms we're in discussions with are really aiming, is they know the smartphone, as it gets better, which everything, Moore's Law gets better and cheaper, that it really, you don't need to replace that thing so much because it's got all the apps and all the basic tools and that really great camera and the $800 flashlight. But I think you really get into that space of, what next? How can I improve the other outdated legacy hardware in my home? How can I have a better software content experience? How can I optimize my life around this? And it was actually really interesting. One last anecdote I'll share to your question is when I first suggested we call Titan Play like a smart content platform and Titan Core was a smart home device or core, they said the Korean executives who who hired me said, oh, well, smart is so overused, smart TVs, 4K, 4K, all this stuff. But how many people actually out there use their smart TVs for any programming? And I would say I actually know because I've talked to a lot of key Samsung and other big LG like Vizio, Leica, all these guys, all these different people, and they've all said it's a really small percentage because the devices, it's almost like you need that separate device. Like you wouldn't want to have, and I'm talking, you know, crazy future, fantastical for a second. I don't think you want the embedded smartphone in your head or your arm or whatever. I think you want it as that device that you just know you can pull out and use appropriately. And I think that people really don't want a device that, you know, really is sewn up into the video screen or into other things. I think they really want something that stands out as a separate, you know, control unit in the home and in the business. So that's our real goal. Is that it's true this is more of an all-in-one, but we're not trying to take away from the big video display market for consumers. We're trying to add to it.
It's really been a pleasure chatting with you today. Thanks for your time and insights. We wish you all the success with Titan. Thanks a lot, Adrian.
Great. Thanks, Ned. I really appreciate it.